Hey, would I be stupid to say that this might be my favorite Raw of 2022? I don't know. There was just something tonight. The flow was great. It wasn't too much of anything. Maybe the ladder match went a little longer than we needed it to, but it seemed like everything had just about the right amount of time. And Bloodline giving a little bit of NWO vibes, in my opinion. Sure, you know, we only had four people. You know, they weren't beating up like 40 people in the roster, but still, it gave me a little bit of NWO vibes. And you know the moment, the one moment that I truly felt those NWO vibes? Not attacking people in the back. We've seen that many times before. Not attacking people in the ring. We've seen that many times before. But very rare do you get a heel faction that, even if the crowd is cheering them, usually, pardon the pun, they're usually not acknowledged by the heels in a positive way. Sami Zayn getting on the mic tonight and saying to Adam Pearce, hey, what are you mad about? Listen to the crowd. Everybody likes what we're doing. So that gave me flashbacks of NWO. Of course, it's not the same thing. It's not on the same scale. But I kind of like that. You know, acknowledging the fans, you know, it's okay to cheer the bad guys. Now, at the end of the night, when Sammy bailed out of the ring and didn't get into it with Kevin Owens a little bit, he got booed out of the building. So the crowd will go along with the storyline if you play the emotions the right way. I thought tonight's Raw was great. I really do. We also had a return. If you didn't see Raw tonight, Bronson Reed came back. As you could see, he looks mad. He is not the Bronson Reed or the Jonah that you remember. And I don't know how people will like what Bronson Reed will be doing upon his return. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Alexa Bliss tonight, you know, people are jumping the gun saying that she turned heel tonight. She didn't turn heel. You know, when you fight for the championship, I mean, we even saw it with Liv Morgan. We've seen it with others. You know, even when friends battle friends, you know, you got to put that friendship aside a little bit and that competitiveness comes out. Sure, you know, usually you don't go to the extent of bashing a vase over someone else's head. But, you know, it's Alexa Bliss tonight. I liked what I saw. I mean, even though, you know, it's a hard sell to see Bianca Belair and Alexis going one-on-one in a match. I mean, Bianca's going to really have to sell big time. But, you know, I like that segment. And did anybody notice the tiny little Easter egg that went down? Now, for those on video, you could look at your screen very, very quickly. Excuse me. Wow. I'm a little under the weather today, everyone. You know, if you saw the show yesterday, my wife's brother got hit with COVID. Her mother is now positive for COVID. My wife is battling a cold. She is tested negative for COVID. But now I feel like shit today, so I better not be getting that again. So, but anyway, look at the screen. You have a sit-down with Corey Graves, Alexa Bliss, Bianca Belair. Alexa Bliss, you know, explaining what happened last week with that momentary lapse of maybe hitting Bianca with a cheap shot last week. And Alexa, you know, talking a little history about Bray Wyatt. Now, if we remember WrestleMania, Alexa Bliss with the black goo coming out of her mouth, if you remember, she looked like one of those aliens from that movie Independence Day. It was Aliens Attack or something. But she talked about how, you know, Bray Wyatt abducted her, turned her into a darker version of herself, and then Bray Wyatt abandoned her, leaving WWE. She went into therapy, things got worse for her, and she had that momentary lapse last week. The whole time, Bianca is looking at her like, girl, that'll go away. Mars Attacks, that's the one, Zandalian. Mars Attacks. It was one of my favorite movies back in the day. I loved that movie. So, what happens? Now, when I said pay attention to the screen, show it very, very quickly. We have to keep it under a certain amount of seconds, otherwise WWE doesn't get very happy. Look at your screen. Now, this was the screenshot. Now, in the background, there was a Happy Holidays Raw TitanTron. Why we needed a video TitanTron? Why we needed a video TitanTron in the background, I have no idea. They could have simply put up maybe Oat Tag or a little bit of poster board, but look at it again. We get a quick flash of the Bray Wyatt logo, and then watch it. Look, Alexa, she's looking at that vase. Boom! Right across the fucking head. Now, if you have high-definition TV, you saw the little Easter egg that went down. If you don't have high-definition TV, all right, let's look at this screenshot, okay? Do you see anything strange in this? No, it's not Nikki Cross lurking in the background. Someone else is lurking in the background. For those on audio only, you don't need to rush over to video to go check it out, but behind the chair, we see a little bit of, there you go, Lily looking out. I know some people are fucking angry tonight. Wait a minute. Lily, Bray Wyatt. No. Are we getting supernatural Lily? Some people are having big time guests tonight over that. I'm telling you, everyone, remember, you know, Alexa Bliss realigning with Bray Wyatt, it's not happening. It's teasing. It's trying to plant seeds that are not there. That's why the Uncle Howdy from Friday, there's no reveal. Uncle Howdy, you know, they're going to try to make you think it's two different people, but it's Bray Wyatt. It's the six shades of Bray. We've talked about that before. So it's just playing with people's minds, playing with emotions, leaving doubts. Because if you leave doubts, it always keeps fans talking. You know, as long as this drags on, it keeps the fans talking. They think, oh, no, they're going this direction, when all along they were going in this direction. Now, before we run down Raw really quickly and we get into some news, some Japanese talent agent tonight, a little bit of heat from a few people in Japan. He had to tweet and delete something about Sasha Banks. I'll share it with you in a little bit, but don't be surprised if Sasha Banks is in Japan this week, that an announcement is made, and this guy may have jumped the gun a little bit with his tweet, and after getting a little bit of heat from certain people in Japan, he had to delete it. So, you know, when you tweet, you know, even if you delete it, someone usually catches it at some point. Also, a little update on Matt Riddle. I was going to say Kevin Owens, Matt Riddle. Very interesting. We had that hunch last Monday, everyone. We had that hunch. Something didn't seem right. It was too positive about Matt Riddle. If he's doing lines, you know what? Let's talk about Matt Riddle for a moment. Let's talk about Matt Riddle. Last Monday, when we talked about the suspension that everybody was reporting, remember, I don't want to be right. I want to be first. That's what most people do. I don't want to be right. I want to be first. And no one truly had legit sources, direct sources. Nothing was verified. And a couple of days later, Dave Meltzer spoke to someone pretty high up, aware of this situation, and they said, nah, Matt Riddle did not get suspended. That it's more of, you know, dealing with the divorce, take the holidays off, come back after New Year's, and we go from there. Now, I don't know what exactly is the actual truth. We don't know if he's suspended. We don't know if he's not. But if you noticed this week, especially podcasters, you got to go and listen to it carefully. And watch it carefully. One podcast today, I'm not going to say who it is, but they have multiple hosts. They did a whole big segment about Matt Riddle, and never once did they mention the words cocaine or weed or, you know, other types of drugs. They would just say, a certain substance that leaves your body after 48 to 72 hours. And they kept saying it that way. And I'm like, man, if you don't have the fucking balls to say what people are reporting, then don't say it at all. You know, but a lot of places in the last 5 days are backtracking what they ran and posted last Monday. Everybody ran to break a story. Check out my site. Check out my views. Pay for my things. Check out my clicks, likes. And now they all realize, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, something isn't adding up here and people are backtracking. Now, for all we know, maybe Matt Riddle did do lines. Maybe Matt Riddle is suspended for this stuff. But there is a lot of buzz going around that what was reported was incorrect. And the thing you have to ask yourself is, should WWE just come out clean and say he's suspended or he's not suspended? Or should they just leave it with the storyline? They don't have to publicly tell us. I know some people got used to WWE saying so-and-so has been suspended, you know, for a second violation, a first violation, whatever it is. We got used to WWE giving us that info. They were never required to do that. They were never required to make that public. So the big question is, should they go against the storyline and say, no, Matt Riddle is suspended for blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, oh, well, you know, there's a lot of people that actually still think what they're watching is, you know, has some legitimacy to it other than the in-ring, you know, work and the, you know, the abuse that it puts on their bodies and how hard they work for our entertainment. But, you know, a lot of people are backtracking over the last week. We saw that last Monday. Something didn't make sense. Too much positive. And here's the great thing about it that no one has realized yet, everyone. Matt Riddle could return January 2nd. He could return January 2nd. He's been off TV already for over 2 weeks. So January 2nd, you know, is 2 weeks from now. You know, the suspension, if it's only 30 days, even if he was suspended, he could come back. So don't discount the possibility of Matt Riddle showing up on the January 2nd edition of Raw. I don't think it'll happen. I think they may put it more towards the Royal Rumble, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Something else I wanted to point out. I remember talking about this about a month, month and a half ago. Why so many people tonight did not realize that we're not having a live Raw next Monday is kind of baffling to me. And I went back to my notes about 5 weeks ago. And I don't know if some of you remember this. Do you remember when we were going through the schedule? We did for the rest of the year, and then we did leading into WrestleMania. Remember when we covered those two segments? Well, when we talked about for the remainder of December, we pointed out that Monday, December 26th was not marked as a Raw, but it was marked as a house show. And, you know, I watched people say, oh, so-and-so broke the news over the weekend that Raw is not going to be live Monday. What the fuck are you talking about? We knew this 2 months ago that WWE Raw was not penciled in for December 26th. Look at your screen. It was the live holiday tour. That's a house show. So today, people were thrown a curveball when WWE announced that next Monday will be the absolute best of 2022. And for 3 hours, we're going to get highlights of 2022. I'll be honest with you. I'm actually looking forward to checking out 3 hours of reminiscing of 2022 because I tell you, you know, the Vince McMahon story is obviously the biggest story of the year. But you look back at WWE 2022, you got to admit, we had a pretty fucking good year. As wrestling fans, we had a damn good 2022 for WWE. Sure, it's got its lapses and it's got its moments. You know, there's always going to be crap. But, you know, everything cannot be cake and ice cream. Every meal cannot feature a dessert. You're going to have, you know, you have to have your Brussels sprouts. you know, with your good food. You know, if you have your mac and cheese and your steak, you know, you might have to have a little bit of greens as well, a little bit of broccoli rabe. So, you know, next week, 3 hours of reminiscing. Now, a few of you have asked, am I going to do a show next Monday? I think so. I think so. Even if we just have, you know, we wing it and we see where it goes. Because remember, we don't really do deep raw recaps. Other shows do that. We talk a lot of news and we talk a lot of other topics. So just because Raw next Monday is taped, you know, all pre-recorded, reminiscing 2022, doesn't mean that we can't, you know, do a show and talk about other things as well. I think for a lot of you out there, you may just want to go to sleep early, you know, because staying up 11 o'clock and then you got podcasts after, and next thing you know, it's 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning here in, on the East Coast. You know, maybe some of you want to catch some Z's, so we'll see what happens. Now, I saw this come in before we went live. Since we're talking about programming, I will get into it now. Ronnie C., Merry Christmas, DT. Thank you for the $10 Super Chat, my friend. Are you doing a Patreon show next Tuesday, since I said NXT may be a best-of show? Yeah, last week on the Patreon show, I was talking about that NXT, the last week of December, may be a pre-recorded best-of also. We're not sure yet if it is. I think they may announce it. Especially close out the year with Roxanne Perez becoming NXT Women's Champion. I think they may actually do that. But, yeah, I'm definitely doing a Patreon show next Tuesday. A lot of what we talk about on the Patreon shows have nothing to do with NXT. You know, we talk very, very little about NXT. You know, most of the show is actually, you know, topics that are wildly different than all the other shows out there. So, yeah, next week. Yeah, they did. Yeah, Ramsfen, they did tapings. NXT did tapings, and definitely not live next week. I already have spoilers. I mean, I've seen the spoilers, but I don't know as far as how they're going to display that as far as TV goes. I don't know if the entire show is going to be just matches or if they're going to include some highlights from the year. In fact, the following Tuesday may end up being highlights. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Soon as we know, once they make it official, then we'll let everybody know. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Raw. And I want to get into first something that people were really trying to blow up. And I'm not trying to poo-poo on it. I loved every minute of it. But if you didn't notice it, you got to go back and you watch it again. If you notice, my throat cleared up. You got to go back and watch it again, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I know over the last 10 years, it's obvious that there's been this huge push to incorporate more women's wrestling on pro wrestling programming. Yes, you know, there were different parts of NWA TNA where they had incredible knockouts division and they had a little more airtime compared to other years. But over the last 10 years, there's been this concerted effort to try to get the shows almost 50-50. Now, a lot of promotions still don't do that. Some of your favorite promotions don't come anywhere close to that. But some promotions, I think, try to force it sometimes. And, you know, you see the ratings. And that's why I've always said we have not had a straight-up women's wrestling show as far as weekly ratings. Women of Wrestling is a little bit different. You know, you look at the characters. I mean, it's not a show that's designed for millions and millions of wrestling fans. That is, it is a niche product, and it'll always be a niche product. We're not talking about niche. But over the last couple of years, a lot of people are trying to really push intergender matches. Now, over the years with WWE, you had Chyna, Beth Phoenix, Nia Jax, teasing, where, you know, those women could go with the men a little bit. And lately we've been talking about Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley, you know, doing the body slam to Luke Gallows very recently. Rhea Ripley giving cheap shots to a lot of men. You know, let's make this clear. You got to think of the advertisers. You got to think of the programming. When we had the conversation about Mandy Rose, people suddenly get it. They suddenly get it. And I'll save some of the Mandy Rose stuff for Wednesday, since Wednesday's mostly NXT and AEW. But something I said over the weekend, and I could reiterate over here, is that these reports that Mandy Rose was not given a chance to right the wrong is a lie. It's a lie. Every single person on the roster that was going to do any type of outside social media interaction with fans, especially if it involved money, it had to be run through WWE. Every person on that roster was told. Mandy Rose, and I'm a big supporter of Mandy Rose. I'm not against her. In fact, I think for a little while, she should go to that fan site and break the bank. She's making more money than she did in WWE right now. So let her do that for a little while. Make your money. Seriously. I have nothing against what she's doing. But, you know, for people that make it seem like she's a victim, oh, you wanted to be sexy and now she's sexy and now you fire her. That's not true. That's just emotional shit. But here's the thing. When you think about the Mandy Rose situation, you know, you realize that the reason more than anything is you got to look at WWE's advertisers and their programming and what that company is about. And I mentioned this over the weekend. Jim Cornette made a very, very good point this weekend. And Jim Cornette said that when you have, you know, PG programming and certain advertisers and certain types of target audiences, you can't turn around and sell a Mandy Rose figure and this and that, and she's posing nude online. You know, and that's a very, very good point. When it comes to intergender wrestling, WWE is strongly against men punching women, men hitting women. Even though this is sports entertainment, I don't need to use other words, they don't like it. That's why most of the time a woman will, Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, the women will lay out the security guard, the cop, the wrestler, the referee, the official. They don't fight back. 99 out of 100 times. Once in a blue moon, someone will get that opportunity. But for WWE, it does not happen. So if you go back tonight, for those that didn't see Raw, Rhea Ripley wrestled Akira Tozawa, wrestled him for about 5 or 6 minutes, defeated Akira Tozawa. And WWE was incredibly, unbelievably creative in this match. If you go back and you watch it, Akira Tozawa, as far as punches, kicks, moves, he got zero offense. He reversed like a move and she rolled out in a ring. Every time Rhea Ripley got knocked for a loop, it was because of a miss on her part. Runs to the corner, Tozawa gets out of the way, she hits the post. She goes to do this. He goes out of the way. She does. He got no offense on Rhea Ripley. And I'll be honest with you. I was entertained. I enjoyed it. It was cool. Rhea Ripley, I said it last week. It's on the channel. I think Rhea Ripley will be 2023 Women's Wrestler of the Year. And if she doesn't, she'll be minimum top five. I'm telling you. Now, she's not going to be number one wrestler of the year by beating Akira Tozawa. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more involved. But you watch this match closely tonight, you will realize WWE ain't changing that shit. If you think that WWE is going to start doing intergender wrestling more often, get used to what you watch tonight, because I guarantee you by match two or match three, people are going to figure it out, and they're going to start complaining, and they're going to say, come on, WWE, what the fuck are you doing? You're claiming you're doing intergender matches, and the guy can't do any offense whatsoever. Give me a fucking break. You know, why do you think people like to see intergender matches? Because they like, it's different to see a woman hit a man. And opposite, a man hitting a woman. You know, that's why I felt so bad for Scotty Tuhati lately, but he didn't have a set of balls. I mean, I know he had it. Well, That's old DT talking. I know he had issues with balls in the past. But, no, he said online, I don't want my daughter to see intergender wrestling. I don't want to see a guy hit a woman. And they fucking chased him off of social media. Come on, man. Seriously? I mean, he actually let that get to him? You kidding me? Seriously, stand up for yourself, man. You're a fucking father. There's absolutely nothing wrong with him not wanting his daughter. See, because people start doing that in real life, simulating what they see in the ring. Oh, no. See, this is Scotty Tuhati's mentality, and I agree with him. If you watch intergender wrestling all the time, for some people, it normalizes a man hitting a woman. And unfortunately, in this world, there are a lot of men that abuse women. For a lot of men, women abusing the men is, many cases, fantasy. You know, but in reality, you see the tragedies, you see the stories, you see all the news reports. It's been for hundreds of years. Men, you know, get abusive on women. And I'm just explaining Scotty Tuhati's view. He doesn't want his daughter to get normalized that it's okay for a man hitting a woman and vice versa. And he got chased off the net because of it. Stupid. But get used to what you saw tonight. Because this idea that WWE is going to start doing intergender wrestling, you're nuts. You're nuts. Someone will. Some man in WWE will eventually be able to hit Rhea Ripley. And when Rhea Ripley gets clocked one, you're going to see her act shocked. She is going to be, I can't believe he did that. It might be Ray Ray. I think Ray Mysterio will probably hit her. I think Ray will hit a 619 on Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. I really do. But that is going to be the tremendous exception to the norm. So it was entertaining tonight. But people were trying to blow that shit up that, oh, Triple H, he's now welcoming, he's warming up to intergender. Get the fuck out of here. It's not happening. It's not happening. By the way, Dominic Mysterio tonight, selling the effects of the mist, wearing sunglasses, just have Akira Tozawa throw a cup of, it was water, but, it's supposed to be the Street Profits drink of choice. And he gets blinded again. And that's what led to the match with Rhea Ripley and Tozawa. We had the OC taking on the Judgment Day tonight. And during the match, we had Dominic Mysterio outside the ring with Rhea Ripley. And Akira Tozawa was in the corner of the Street Profits. And did I say the OC? Street Profits took on Judgment Day. And Tozawa was in the corner of the Street Profits. They have aligned Tozawa with Street Profits lately. And during the final parts of the match, Tozawa's on the outside with one of the Street Profits cups filled with liquid, and he sees Rhea Ripley, and he sees Dominic Mysterio. Rhea Ripley's in front of Dominic Mysterio, so Tozawa goes and pretends like he's going to throw the cup into the face of Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley ducks and hits Dominic with it. Finn Balor is not paying attention, and Montez Ford hits the fruit roll-up on Finn Balor and gets the win. So after the match is over, Tozawa's walking up the rampway, and Rhea Ripley comes up to him, and she's getting pissed off at him, and she's like, what the hell was that? What did you do over there? And she punches him right in the goddamn mouth, and she challenges him to a match. And he's very reluctant. Street Profits are telling him, go in there, do it. And what we got was the result. So it was fun. It was very creative. But in the end, Rhea Ripley gets the win, and it was all one-sided. So now, I don't want to go too far ahead, but let's talk about the Bloodline tonight, because I said this earlier, it gave me NWO vibes. Now, another reason why it gave me NWO vibes is because something that WCW used to do back in the day and used to piss us off, especially the beginning of the night, we'd have two luchadors wrestling. Might be like Rey Mysterio versus Hoovy, or DiMolenko versus Rey, or Eddie Guerrero versus someone, or Ultimo Dragon versus someone. And then they would always cut to the back, and the NWO was causing chaos to something. So during this match, they went to the back, and they were showing you know, the Usos causing chaos. Now, what happened at the very beginning of the show is we open up and we are greeted with Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. Now, obviously, this was recorded from Friday's SmackDown. This was a pre-recorded segment. And Roman Reigns is talking about Kevin Owens. And he said, you're going to need more than John Cena. You're going to need that entire locker room to have your back since you're in my business too much. We're going to make your life a living hell until you acknowledge the bloodline. So immediately after that, we see the Usos, Sami Zayn, and Solo Sikoa in the back. And they're beating the crap out of Mustafa Ali and someone else. Couldn't I see who it was? And, you know, Solo Sikoa hits the Samoan spike on Mustafa Ali. And they're going to start causing chaos in the back because of what's going on with Kevin Owens. A little bit later on, during the Street Profits match, they cut back again, and we got Usy Cam! And Solo Sikoa smashing a guitar. And if you in the background, they beat the crap out of Andre Chase. Andre Chase was on heat tonight. I think he lost to Cedric Alexander and Axiom. A-Kid, he wrestled tonight on Main Event. He lost to Mustafa Ali. So Andre Chase, who happened to be there, he got the shit knocked out of him in the back. And you had Usy Cam and, yeah, Solo Sikoa. I think it was a shot at Jeff Jarrett. I think it was a shot at Jeff Jarrett because I think Corey Graves, during that segment, said that they're on a rampage. Quite a few AEW one-liners tonight. I don't know if people caught on to it, but, you know, it was good. It was good. Later on, they beat up Cedric Alexander, Dolph Ziggler, Shelton Benjamin. After the OC beat Alpha Academy, they hit the ring and started getting into it with the OC. And, you know, good for AJ Styles, good for WWE to have the wherewithal to pretty much predict what fans were going to start saying. When the Bloodline attacked the OC after their match was over, I started seeing people immediately on social media saying, how come nobody in the back is, you know, standing up for the locker room, like with these guys? Now, yeah, you're probably thinking a little bit too deeply, but people started making that comment. And when Adam Pearce came out with the security guards, and that's when Sami Zayn said to Adam Pearce, come on, you're the only one mad. Everybody's loving what we're doing. It's Uzi. Soon as they started going to the back, AJ Styles comes out, and AJ Styles starts wailing on Sami Zayn. And finally, somebody is coming out and trying to do something about it. So AJ Styles demands a match tonight with someone from the Bloodline. The only problem I had with the whole thing is Adam Pearce calling Sami Zayn Sammy Uso. You know, I mean, it's like when Adam Pearce and the announcers keep saying Seth freaking Rollins all over and over and over. Yeah, I got to call Seth freaking Rollins. You know, it sounds a little goofy. But Adam Pearce is like, you want him tonight? All right, you're going to get Sammy Uso. So we're going to get AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn tonight. Excellent match. Excellent match. You knew these two guys were going to nail it. Solo Sikoa comes out from the crowd. Little too slow because AJ Styles, when we thought he was about to win the match, he was supposed to turn around and Solo Sikoa was supposed to be right there. You know, AJ gets into it with him, gets distracted. Sami Zayn hits his finisher, match over. When AJ Styles turned around, Solo Sikoa didn't even yet jump over the guardrail. So AJ Styles, for some reason, leaves the ring, goes to the guardrail, and starts hitting Solo Sikoa. Now, yes, that's from earlier, but you could tell that the timing was off a little bit. Corey Graves was a little off tonight on some commentary. A couple of examples I'll get into you tonight. Something also with Bayley and Becky Lynch. I don't know if you all caught it with Corey Graves. Something he said that was wrong. Flat out wrong. I didn't even tweet about it because nobody gives a shit. On Twitter, if you're not part of the Cool Kids Club, nobody cares. But so he leaves the ring, gets into it with Solo. And Corey, one thing that he did say smart was there's no DQ with that because AJ Styles was the first one to attack. Now, if Solo would have attacked later on, he would have gotten disqualified. But it distracted AJ Styles just enough So when he tried to get back into the ring, Solo Sikoa jumped him, hit AJ Styles with the Samoan spike, and rolled him back in the ring. And Sami Zayn, who hit a blue thunderbomb, I can't remember the last time Sami Zayn has hit a blue thunderbomb. He hits AJ with the blue thunderbomb and gets the pin. Loved it. Great. Excellent. So Bloodline still causing chaos tonight, and Sami Zayn getting a win. A little bit later on, we get more Bloodline. Seth Rollins hits the ring. Now, we got two title matches in 2 weeks on Raw. We have Bianca Belair defending the Raw Women's Championship against Alexa Bliss. That'll be January 2nd, 2023. And also in 2 weeks, we're going to get Seth Rollins versus Austin Theory for the United States Championship. Seth Rollins hits the ring, and he gets into it with Austin Theory. Austin Theory doing some one-liners from yesteryear. Took a line from John Cena, took a line from Steve Austin. He said, the champ is here. He also said, the Austin Theory era has just begun. People will remember, what was it, 1998? The Austin era has just begun. It's a famous Jim Ross quote. So he's doing some play on words, and they're going back and forth a little bit. Seth Rollins telling Theory, the title doesn't make the man makes the title. And he says that Theory, he could wake up, go to sleep, and he will always realize that he is not on Seth Rollins' level. He will never be Seth Rollins. And then Theory with a nice little cheap shot that you've been to the mountaintop. When you get knocked off and you have to go home, you're going to realize that you were the third most successful member of the Shield. So it was good. It was really good. But before they could get into it, here's the Usos in the crowd about to jump the guardrail. So Seth Rollins, he's like to Austin Theory, he's like, listen, we can take care of this another time. We got company. So basically Seth Rollins is telling Austin Theory, come on, we got to defend Raw. We got to do something about the Usos. So they're in the ring together. The Usos are methodically getting close to the ring. They climb the side of the ring apron. And Austin Theory starts taking his jacket off. Seth Rollins starts taking his jacket off. And perfect. I know people were like, oh, that'd be awesome. The Usos versus Austin Theory and Seth Rollins. No! No! Austin Theory's got to be a chicken shit. He's got to be an absolute asshole. A-time. All the time. A-time stands for asshole. Austin Theory puts his jacket back on, grabs his title. He's like, fuck it, I'm out of here. And Seth Rollins has a grin on his face. He's like, I should have realized that. So Seth Rollins tries to attack both Usos himself. Kevin Owens, remember what we said over the weekend? The enemy of my enemy is my friend or something like that. If you notice, Kevin Owens now, we talked about it over the weekend, Kevin Owens, WWE's doing something really interesting with him. People, I don't think, realize it yet. They're making him align with all of his tremendous foes. Elias, John Cena, and tonight, Seth Rollins. You know, if we picked up on that over the weekend. So Kevin Owens makes the save. Now I'm thinking to myself, you think KO will stun Seth Rollins like he stunned Elias, you know, 2 weeks ago? But no, he didn't. We get a match later on, and it's the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens won. Now, towards the latter part of the match, Seth Rollins took out Solo Sikoa outside the ring. Solo went for the ring post. You know, Seth got out of Dodge, went into the ring post. He's out. He hits the curb stomp on Jey Uso. He's out. Seth Rollins, catching a little breath of air, leaning against the guardrail, the padding where the fans are. And here comes Austin Theory, and he belt shots Seth Rollins. So Seth is out for the count. That leaves Jimmy Uso and Kevin Owens in the ring one-on-one. Ultimately, Kevin Owens with the pop-up powerbomb and gets the win. And I liked it because Seth Rollins stood out of the ring the entire time. Even though when Sami Zayn got out of Dodge and started walking to the back, he walked right past Seth Rollins, and Seth looked a little ridiculous on the mat. You know, I hope someone has some cell phone footage. Remember that cell phone footage with Randy Orton? When Randy Orton was acting unconscious outside the ring, and he went like this. He's like, am I good? And he got up and just walked away. If you've never seen that video, you got to go check it out. It's one of the funniest videos. You know, a little innocent 30-second clip, but you'll laugh. And Randy Orton's outside the ring, unconscious. I don't know what the match was, but he's unconscious, and there's somebody with a cell phone, fan, and he's recording Randy Orton, and Randy Orton peeks his eye open, and he looks at the fans. He's like, am I good? And everybody's like, yeah, you're clear. And he just gets up, and he's like, okay. He leaves. It's fucking funny, man. I wonder if we have something similar with Seth Rollins tonight. But it was the right move. You go off the air, Kevin Owens standing on the top rope. Kevin Owens has to be victorious going into this tag match with John Cena. This is supposed to create agita for Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has got to get flustered. The Usos couldn't get the job done tonight. Sami Zayn back down tonight. This is not going to make the Tribal Chief all that pleasant tonight. And that's how you got to keep the storyline going. Having Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens locking eyes tonight was really, really good. Because, you know, at some point, there's going to be that momentary bit of sympathy where Roman Reigns is going to have a look on his face like, fuck you doing? You know, and that'll be the beginning of the end of Sami Zayn and the Bloodline. Not yet, but in 12 days, we will have, you know, little progression to the storyline. So, really, really enjoyed it. Really, everything tonight clicked. Bayley versus Becky Lynch. As Kevin Patrick said, 1,329 days was the last time that they faced each other. I did a little research. That was April 30th, 2019. It was SmackDown. Becky was still Becky Two Belts. She beat Bayley with the disarmer. And Charlotte Flair showed up and laid both of the women out that night. And I was thinking tonight, like, wow, that'd be pretty cool if she showed up tonight, laid them out again. You know, that would be pretty cool, but we didn't get any Charlotte Flair appearance tonight. But Corey Graves got something tremendously wrong, unless I interpreted it the wrong way. And by the way, shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight. Last week I said that Kaylee Ray, she made her NXT return in a dark match, and she's now Brianna Ray, I think. She never wrestled in WWE ever. No NXT, no Mae Young Classic. I think I just mixed up the names again, remembering Kaylee Ray, you know, who's now Alba Fire. So that is one of those, you know, enigmas where you almost feel like Kaylee Ray wrestled in WWE at some point. And no, that was not the case. But Corey Graves said something tonight. I don't know if you all picked up on it, but Corey Graves, when he was talking about Becky Lynch and Bayley, if I'm wrong, please post it in the comment section and correct me. Go back to the beginning of that match tonight. And Kevin Patrick, and you'll know exactly the moment I'm talking about, Kevin Patrick brought up the term four horsewomen. And when he brought that up, they were, you know, Kevin Patrick mentioned it's been 1,329 days since they faced each other last. And then Corey Graves says, yeah, but Bayley decided, stood in NXT, and Becky went on to big things. And Bayley has that grudge with Becky Lynch. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wait a minute. 2019, Bayley wasn't in NXT in 2019. She was on SmackDown. And I think Corey Graves mixed up 2015, because in 2015, they wrestled in NXT. Shortly thereafter, I think Becky Lynch went to the main roster and Bayley followed not too long after that. So I don't know if he just mixed it up, but how he was talking about it, I'm like, why is he bringing up 2015 when they faced each other in 19? You know, I think, you know, if there was ever a time to bring up 15, it would have been in 2019, not in 2022. So that was just something that I noticed tonight. I don't know if you all picked up on it, but I did. Corey Graves definitely mixed up the dates, and he kept saying things about it. And I'm like, where is he going with this? And then they changed the subject, and I thought, oh, okay, I think he realized he mixed up the years with that. But tonight's match was great. Sky and Kai, you know, we thought we were going to get straight up one-on-one without them getting involved or even being at ringside. They ultimately were at ringside. They got involved. And Dakota Kai actually enters the ring for a few moments. Becky hits the boots on her. And here comes Bayley, which I think was a tablet on the announcer's desk. And she wails Becky Lynch in the back with the tablet and pins her. So Bayley closes out 2022 on the winning side. I think Bayley really needed this win tonight. Look, it's Bayley. You know, she ain't going to lose her cred, you know, because of maybe the fans not clicking with damage control as much, you know. But as we talked about over the weekend, they're not back that long. You know, SummerSlam was not that long ago. So I think we got to give Bayley a good year to really see where she stands as far as the women's division goes. That match was great, though. It was great. Unfortunately, you get the distraction with the ending. So, what matches? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the ladder match. Before I get into the ladder match, I saw this come in a few moments ago. Eric Williams, thank you very much for the five spot, my friend. Do I think there's a possibility of Sami Zayn accidentally winning the Royal Rumble? No. I know there's a lot of people pushing for Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Kevin, the storyline of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn ultimately reuniting, hugging, winning the championships, dethroning the Usos, that is the story that should be written. I know people want to make this the Us movement, like the Yes movement. And could Sami Zayn become heavyweight champion down the line? Sure, anything is possible. Did we ever think Kofi would be heavyweight champion? You ever think Dolph Ziggler would be heavyweight champion? There's been a lot of people that you look back and you're like, wow, I never thought that that person would win the championship. Maybe when you felt the championship wasn't as valued as it is now, I think that there's a lot more prestige with the championships. But I think for WrestleMania is concerned, you know, you don't want to divert from that storyline with Kevin Owens that much. The tag match really is the way to go. You have, I think Seth Rollins is getting one of those championships. Seth Rollins, that tweet is still ringing in my ears when Triple H said to Seth Rollins, I hear you. When that match was called off, I don't know if it was SummerSlam or the event before, where it was supposed to be Riddle versus Seth Rollins and was called off. And Seth Rollins says, listen, I hope they hear you one day, or, you know, and Triple H says, I hear you. That sticks with me. And I think Seth Rollins is going to get one of those championships. If Cody comes back, wins the Rumble, gets one of those championships, it's fine. It's fine. I think people are not used to what we used to get in the past. Cena makes his return, number 30, wins, goes on, whatever it is. You know, Triple H returns from injury, you know, gets right to the front of the line. We've had many times in the past where main eventers go right to the front of the line after injury. So, Sami Zayn, I like the idea, but I don't want to see him win in the Royal Rumble. To me, it just fucks up the storylines. You know, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I think it's really, really simple. Whoever wins the Rumble is going to get a shot. Whoever wins the Elimination Chamber gets a shot. And I think there's where, you know, Adam Pearce is like, wait, we got two people. Maybe you could tease a Raw or a SmackDown where they face each other and whoever wins gets the title shot at WrestleMania. But if you have the winner of the Chamber and the winner of the Rumble getting heavyweight title matches at WrestleMania, all Adam Pearce say, well, we made a decision. There's two number one contenders, and they're both going to get a championship match at WrestleMania. How do you determine who gets what shot? You know, if you have somebody from Raw win and somebody from SmackDown win, that's fine. Problem is, right now, Cody and Seth are on Raw. So we'll see what happens. Austin Nance, thank you very much, my friend, for the super chat. I appreciate it. Much love. Always keeping the helm, along with Chaos. who I think he's with family tonight. So hope everybody's having a wonderful, he's having a hot, oh, tells me to have a hot cup of coffee. Yes, I actually tomorrow I think I will have hot tea. If that's okay, I will replace it for a tea. I feel like shit. So, all right, let's talk about The Miz versus Dexter Lumis. Winner take all, two big bags of money on the ladder. I wanted The Miz to win. I'm a big Dexter Lumis fan. There's no secret. He was one of my favorite wrestlers in NXT for quite some time. I am a fan with Dexter Lumis. What I feared is if Dexter Lumis won tonight in storyline this money, that would have proceeded to loads of vignettes with The Miz broke or Maryse and The Miz, where's my money, where's this and that. And honestly, I don't know if I really want to see this storyline to continue. I want it to shift. Now, sanity hasn't returned yet. I don't know what form of sanity is going to return, but they're going to return ultimately, and I think they get into it with Gargano and Lumis. But tonight, we got a little bit of a curveball. We get the ladder match. It was a decent ladder match. Not much to complain about. Towards the end of the match, Dexter Lumis climbs the ladder. And it really looked like he was actually going to win. Miz climbed the ladder, almost grabbed both stacks of money. Dexter Lumis knocks him off. And it almost looked like Dexter Lumis was kind of reluctant to go to the next step to pick the money bags up. Not that I thought somebody was going to actually interfere, but it almost seemed like, hey, this big guy climbing the ladder. I mean, Dexter Lumis is not really known for major moments in history with ladder matches. Not saying he never had a ladder match, but he climbs the ladder. And there's a little bit of hesitation. And the next thing you know, yes, yes, Bronson Reed shows up. The former Jonah, as we saw recently in Impact Wrestling. He shows up. He knocks Dexter Lumis on his ass. He climbs the top rope, hits a beautiful splash on Dexter Lumis. He a big boy, man. Big boy. Splashes Dexter Lumis. Brings Miz back in the ring. Miz grabs both bags of money. And we go off with Miz aligning with Bronson Reed. So the Miz paid Bronson Reed to help him get his money back. So Bronson Reed returns to WWE, returns as a heel, is now aligned with the Miz. And I just keep thinking earlier this year, you know, The Miz with Tommaso Ciampa. The Miz previously, was he with Theory for a little while? But, you know, The Miz aligning with people sometimes, you know, it gets a little annoying. But if Bronson Reed is going to be The Miz's, like, bodyguard, I'm fine. I'm fine with it. Now, I'm going to say something. It might upset a few people, but I'm just telling it like it is. I want to remind everyone, Bronson Reed was never this major ratings draw. I think people felt bad when he got released August of last year because we thought he was going to go to the main roster. He had a couple of dark matches, if I remember. He was great in NXT. Very, very agile big man. Still remember his Bam Bam Bigelow tribute, which I loved. Bronson Reed's good guy. Very talented. But Bronson Reed was never at a point in WWE where majority of fans were clamoring over this guy. He showed up tonight on Raw. The crowd really didn't react to it all that much at all. You see some people online, they're like, yeah! And believe me, I guarantee almost all of you have seen this at some point tonight if you were on Twitter. How many times you see tonight, yeah, another win for Triple H? And I'm like, you know, with all due respect, and we've had this conversation before, I understand people get their juices titillated when Triple H is reversing Vince decisions. But I think at this point now, people are excited anytime Triple H reverses a Vince decision. And let's be honest, there's been a couple of people who have come back and have done a spectacular job. Braun Strowman is probably top on my list. Karrion Kross, slowly, you know, repairing what Vince did. No question. But there's been quite a few returns that people have not been thrilled about at all, and they don't want to have the balls to admit it. But, you know, quite a few of these returns have not really developed. Now, I'm willing to give time because the one thing I will agree is that in a lot of these women's cases and, you know, that have returned, you know, with Dakota Kai and Io Sky, they were NXT. So it's not like they were on the main roster and they were just misused. And that was different. But when you look at, like, Emma, with all due respect, she returned. I mean, Emma, to me, at some points, man, I thought she was one of the top two or three in Impact Wrestling. I love the attitude change. I love everything about it. She comes there now and she's losing every match. And yes, she's dating Madcap Moss. But to me, it's like secondary. And listen, the problem is when you realize how many women, especially on the Raw and SmackDown roster, who have that creed and have that, you know, that talent behind them and they're high in the food chain, there's not room. There's not much room there. You know, Charlotte Flair is about to return. And when you start thinking about Becky, Bianca, you know, and listen, the Sasha Banks stuff, you know, let's be honest. Cody Rhodes came back. It didn't, you know, affect the ratings in any way. Sasha Banks returns. It's not going to affect the ratings. When the day that she does return, it'll pop a rating. But in no time, you know, she is going to have to share that upper class with quite a few women. How the fuck is Emma going to break through to that? How is Xia Li with her 19 heel and baby face turns? It's not her fault. But, you know, Lacey Evans, they're putting her, you know, the rebuild on her. And I love it. What they're doing now is what they should have done 2 years ago. But once that's accomplished, you think she's going to leapfrog Ronda Rousey? You think she's going to leapfrog Bianca Belair and a whole bunch of these? When they're not. So you realize that, and then you say, okay, bringing people back and bringing Kaylee Ray in and bringing this person in, and oh, look, it's you know, and then you say to yourself, how are they going to break through? And then after a month, you're like, do we really need this person? Was this person brought back to have a competitive loss? You know, and you start looking at it. I mean, Hit Row, you know, AJ Francis is still new to wrestling. You got to give him time, man. He's a big man, and he's trying to do too much, in my opinion. Sometimes, hey, shit happens. That's why we really didn't, you know, we had a good laugh what happened on Friday SmackDown, but, you know, shit happens. But at the same time, though, you know, to me, how's their overall return? How many people out there have not been thrilled about damage control? So when I see tonight, yeah, and chalk up another win for Triple H, what the fuck does that mean? I'm happy that Bronson Reed is in, but I want to see what he's going to do. Is he just going to be a lackey for The Miz? Is he going to get any type of a push? Let's see 2-3 months from now. Let's see. You know, bringing somebody in a roster is great. What you do with them is another thing. Now, talking about roster, I was going to save this for Wednesday. I'm going to bring it up tonight. All right. We had a little bit of a movie, a red carpet premiere. I'm trying to... okay. It was the premiere of the National Treasure Edge of History. This is apparently a movie related with Disney. And on the red carpet, we had the lovely CJ Perry, as you know as Lana. That actually is a photo from this past weekend. And if you look at all the photos online, all the posed photos, she is alone. But she wasn't there alone. She was there with Miro. And they talked to Muse for a few moments. And the topic of AEW was brought up. And I have the audio. I can't show you the video, but I have the audio. And here is what Miro said about his AEW return.
Meryl, CJ, what does it feel like to be here at the Disney Plus premiere for National Treasure?
Oh, I love National Treasure. Always have. Big fan of the movies. I can't wait to see the series.
Yeah. Have you heard anything about it?
I'm excited about the series. I'm a big, big series fan. So anytime a movie can get moved to series, I'm like, yes.
She loves binging.
Love binging.
She doesn't wait for me, but she loves binging.
Meryl, we got to ask you, when are you going to be coming back to AEW? We've been waiting to see you back wrestling again.
Well, spicy questions. It's not up to me. I'm doing anything I can, and from then on, I'm just sitting and waiting for the opportunity.
Yeah. We love you. Since WWE, both of you, we want to see you back, because we got both of you back if you do decide to come back into wrestling. I think it would be a perfect fit in this day and age.
Thank you.
Enjoy the movie today. We look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. So, appearance of a TV series. You know, they were talking about movies, TV series. I don't watch that, so I don't know anything about it. But, you know, this goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We have noticed Miro being off TV for about 7 months because many of you on Wednesdays get a big headache every time I do it. Every time, every week. The Redeemer! He redeemed another week. He got paid, didn't do nothing. The God told me to show up and redeem, and he does nothing. The last we saw him on TV, he gave a nod, or Malachi Black gave a nod. Now think about that. Malachi Black gave a nod to Miro, and everybody was like, Miro's going to join the House of Black. And then Malachi Black left for a little while, and we haven't seen Miro since. And when fans started, you know, when they get mad about the CM Punk stuff and they're getting mad about the Elite rubbing in fans' faces, and people are now getting a little bit annoyed at Tony Khan and his booking isn't as good as it's perceived to be, some people started getting the balls to say, what the fuck is going on with Miro? I see people doing YouTube shorts and TikTok videos and this and that, you know, hey, Miro, Miro, Miro. And the EVPs, one of the first things they did upon their official return was send the breadcrumbs to all the news media. We got to quiet this buzz about Miro. And they told the news media the report that Miro was against a lot of AEW creative. That's why he's off TV. So people started shitting on Miro like, oh, he doesn't want to go with the stuff. That motherfucker said at least 10 times, look, I'm like an actor. You tell me what I got to do. You pay me. I do what I got to do. You know, there is nothing to the truth that Miro has balked creative stuff. I mean, what the fuck do you think he's going to do? He's going to feud with Jungle Boy? Like, what creative thing would he have balked? You know, this isn't Vince McMahon. They weren't going to have him come back wearing a clown suit. You know, what was he going to do? He's going to wrestle who? Hobbs? Like, there's nothing that he balked. But they had to put it out there, and everybody put their tail between their legs, and they stopped talking about Miro. So Miro, once again, saying what he said a long time ago. I'm home. You know, they want me back. I'm back, you know. But for now, Redeemer. He's just redeeming paychecks and doing nothing. So he's not. Benjamin says, is Miro in a doghouse? I don't know. I think Miro ultimately is going back to WWE. I don't think there's even a question of it. AEW has expressed almost no interest in having Lana, you know, out there. Maybe they got a little annoyed at Miro talking about his hot wife if AEW had no plans on bringing her. Because, look, you mentioned that on TV, you know, you get a lot of fans like, yeah, we want CJ Perry. Why can't they, you know, like, yeah, we want to see them together. Mixed tag, you know, power couple. And I think maybe we don't know. There's nobody that truly knows, other than, like I said, when the EVPs give breadcrumbs to the journalists. So, all right. So we had Raw tonight. Fun show. Excellent. So once again, as a reminder, next Monday will be a best of, and I'll be here live. We'll definitely have a lot of stuff to talk about, even though the news will probably be a little bit slower this week because of the Christmas holiday and next week being New Year's. I'm sure there's still going to be things to get into. Now, this Friday SmackDown is already recorded. I'm not going to give you spoilers, but I am going to give you a correction. If you do a Google search when I'm done with the show, you'll laugh. because you will see countless websites when I always talk about how they cut and paste stuff and they don't do any research for themselves. Okay. The matches for Friday. One of the matches that's going to go down Friday is a gauntlet match. It's going to be Liv Morgan. Please, chat room, do not post spoilers. Please. We do not want any spoilers posted. But we have Liv Morgan versus Raquel Rodriguez versus Tegan Knox versus Emma versus Sonya Deville versus Xia Li. The winner of that match will become the number one contender for Ronda Rousey's championship. Now, I'm not going to say who won the match, but if you want to go seek out spoilers, all I will tell you is that about, I'd say at least three quarters of the websites, everyone that reported in those websites, the winner of the match said that that woman pinned Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler. Now, when I heard that, I said, wait a minute. Why would Shayna Baszler be in a gauntlet match for Ronda Rousey's championship? And then I'm like, oh, the other female, if you know what I'm talking about. They all wrote Shayna Baszler. Look up the, if you decide to look up the spoilers, I'll wait until Friday. And then when you watch it, you'll be like, oh, I know why they made the mistake. So you'll see it. I picked up on it right away. I was like, look at that. And looking at all these websites, cutting and pasting it and throwing it out there, I'm like, she wasn't in the match. All right. Anyway, we have Rey Mysterio versus Angel Garza. Bray Wyatt and LA Knight will have another confrontation. That's all I will say. And that pretty much seals the deal, everyone. We are going to close out 2022 with no Bray Wyatt matches. That's something that we feared months ago. And now you're hitting Royal Rumble territory. That motherfucker does not have a match at the Royal Rumble. I'm telling you, you could have Uncle Howdy, Uncle Doody, Uncle Harper, Uncle Leo, Uncle whatever, Uncle Jesse. You could have anything you fucking want. You could have Wyatt Six, Wyatt Clan, Wyatt Foundation. You could have a Wyatt fucking planet. Fans are going to start shitting on this stuff. There's only so many times that he could come out there. Chicago, I missed you. I missed you. I'm telling you, and I'm one of the biggest Bray Wyatt fans. The amount of Bray Wyatt memorabilia I still have is insane. But I'm telling you, fans are starting to realize it. This guy's been back almost 3 months and nothing, nothing. You really think about it. For 3 months, where are we with this? What has really progressed? And then you get the Uncle Howdy on SmackDown, which was maybe a foot taller than a leprechaun, and him doing that laugh for 3 minutes, and I'm exaggerating a little bit. I don't know if that came off as good as people think. I think people were excited because they were so wrong about Wyatt Six that they thought, yeah, you see, there is going to be somebody. There is going to be a revelation. See, I told you all this time, and I think people were more excited that they thought that they eventually would be right than actually what was being presented on TV. We're also going to have Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn there. They will be obviously talking about their match with Kevin Owens and John Cena the following week. And then the main event will be Ricochet and Braun Strowman taking on Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci in a Miracle on 34th Street street fight. That is SmackDown for this Friday. Now, I will tell you, NXT tomorrow, they loaded it, man. They loaded it. If you never hung out for the watch party, if you haven't been around for a while, show up tomorrow. I think tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun. I'm telling you, enjoy it while they last. I mean, I don't know how much longer they're going to last because unfortunately with those watch parties, quite a few people will not show up unless there's a giveaway. And I'm not going to go into that route. But the watch parties are there, you know, so everybody could have fun. But, you know, keep in mind also that there's a process behind the scenes that's involved too. But tomorrow for NXT, we got the New Day defending the NXT tag titles against Briggs and Jensen. I think we know what the outcome is going to be, but still, you know, they're going to be defending their titles. Kayden Carter and Katana Chance are going to be defending their women's tag titles versus Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley and Toxic Attraction. It'll be a three-way match. Axiom versus Carmelo Hayes. Apollo Crews, I believe, will have a match, but he will be there. And they just added Nikita Lyons versus Zoe Stark. Pretty surprised that that match is actually happening so soon. But tomorrow is going to be a pretty loaded show. So that's what we have to look forward to. Now, as far as Dynamite on Wednesday, I don't know, mixed bag. We got the Elite versus the Death Triangle. This is, what, match five in the series? Right now it's 3-1 in favor of the Death Triangle, so we could start expect the next two matches to be won by the Elite. I think it's no DQ, as if there ever is a DQ. Jamie Hayter will be defending the AEW Women's Championship against Hikaru Shida. FTR, you know, if they're going away in a couple of months, you know, this is the beginning of their swan song. They opened up 2022 beating the Guns. That is their biggest win in AEW. If you, again, I know people don't want to hear it, but you take away the IWGP and the AAA shit and the six-man tags and the singles matches, their biggest win. Look it up. FTR's biggest win in AEW in 2022 was against the Gun Club. Check the record books. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. So they're going to have a rematch on Wednesday. Bryan Danielson will talk. Ricky Starks will talk. And we're going to get Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. For some reason, they have to talk to each other again. So that's what we have for Wednesday. Now, as far as ratings from last Wednesday's Dynamite, how would you feel if I told you that MJF versus Ricky Starks was the lowest rated quarter of the night? It wasn't a bad rating, but what if I told you it was the lowest quarter of the night? MJF versus Ricky Starks. I'm going to give you the breakdown in a moment. SmackDown did 2,191,000. Rampage did 464,000. I think that Rampage number is a big disappointment, especially that we have Moxley versus Guevara not only opening up Rampage, but having a pretty fucking good match. I want to see those quarter hour breakdowns. I don't have them yet. Brandon Thurston has not posted them, but and I give him credit for what I'm about to show you too. But 464, man, I mean, you really, I think you just have to start building on the storylines. Even if you have storylines that are strictly on Rampage, I think that's what you got to start doing. I think these, you know, casual bumping into people in the back, you know, somebody's about to do an interview and then somebody walks in and interrupts the interview and the next thing you know, they got a match on Rampage. You know, I think a lot of people want, you know, some deeper storyline attached to it. But all right, check out these ratings from Dynamite last week. Now, the opening quarter, 1,044,000 viewers. You know, that's usually the lead-in from that Big Bang Theory. And look, if I had a Nielsen box tonight, I contributed to Barmageddon because I fucking forgot to turn my TV off. So if I had a Nielsen box tonight, I'm actually improving the rating for a Nikki Bella show. Would you ever think it? So they opened up with 1,044,000 viewers. And then you see there is a steady decline, not a big decline, but by the end of hour one, they are down about 118,000 viewers. You had Jericho versus, what quarter was Jericho? Jericho was quarter five versus Action Andretti. And last Wednesday, we got into Action Andretti a little bit. If you wanted a little bit of his background, you could go check out that episode. But by the end of hour one, they were at 926,000 viewers. Jericho versus Action Andretti jumped the rating back up to 961. Then it was a little bit of a, you know, decline afterwards, and they really did not recover. Because after that match was over with, quarter six, which was a Ricky Starks promo, Ty Mello versus Ruby Soho, they lost 58,000 viewers to 903. And then the next to last quarter, which was promos by Hangman Page, Best Friends, Orange Cassidy, Dustin Rhodes, the post-match angle with Anna Jay laying out Ruby Soho. Oh, my nose! And the Jericho Appreciation Society, that hype for Rampage. It went back up to 9:13. But then your final quarter, which was MJF versus Ricky Starks for the AEW Championship, that rating went down from 9:13 to 8:91. So now the overall rating was about 950. So MJF versus Ricky Starks didn't break 900,000 viewers. That was the lowest quarter of the night. And, you know, it's really interesting to see, you know, how these ratings ended up. Jericho had the biggest jump. And you know why I think that is? I don't even think it's just because it's Jericho. That match told a great story about an underdog, you know, giving Jericho, you know, the run for his money, and Jericho lost. You know, Action Andretti, you know, I think he's going to follow the path of Cole Carter. You'll get a little spurt in the beginning, and then he'll fade off to, you know, to Elevation and Dark. He will still work house indie circuit. But Action Andretti is better than you think. And if you remember some of the people who he has faced in the past in the indie circuit, he's got a good little resume for his three-year career. But it told the story. You watch that match. You listen to that crowd. It told a great story. People stood glued. They enjoyed it. And after it was over, you know, 50,000-plus viewers changed the channel. And they never came back, you know, which is interesting. It's interesting. 950 overall, can't complain about that. But my question to you is, do you think that people decided not to stay with MJF versus Ricky Starks because they knew what the outcome was going to be? You know, maybe we didn't think Bryan Danielson was going to show up and chase MJF away, but I mean, everybody knew there's no way Ricky Starks is winning this championship. Cutting great promos, passionate promos is awesome. We'll remember it. There's, you know, it was spectacular, their exchange last week. It turned a direction for MJF. I mean, it was the first time that I really felt MJF was just like everybody else. You know, like he really was brought down to earth a little bit. But in the end, you know, it's like, does it affect the outcome in any way? No. That's why maybe Ricky Starks and MJF, maybe that should have been a feud down the line where MJF already had a nice run. And then you start thinking, hey, you know, you think it's time to take the belt off of MJF? That's when those feuds are at their best. Because even right now, Bryan Danielson, does anybody really feel that MJF is going to lose to Bryan Danielson for that championship? I don't feel that. So as good as the matches are, you know, this storyline, too. And you want that suspension of disbelief that something could possibly happen. I think that's why even with the Usos, you know, they're going to take on Hit Row Friday, you know, for the tag titles. That's one of the matches going down. They took on, you know, the Brawling Brutes. They took on this other team. They took on this other team. I mean, has anyone thought in the last couple of months that there was the Street Profits at SummerSlam was the last time that I felt there was any threat to the Usos Tag Team Championships? So unless you are really looking forward to all the competitors in the match, they can announce the Usos against anybody. And unless I want to see that interaction, I know what the outcome is going to be. So if I know they're not dropping the titles and I'm not really interested in their opponents, with all due respect, you think that it's must-see TV for me to see them take on Hit Row Friday? No. No, not at all. So, you know, prediction, you know, is great when you can't pick a winner. That's when predictions are at their best. All right. Before we get out of here, because I know we're starting to run a little bit late here, let me show you something with Sasha Banks, okay? Somebody's in a little bit of trouble today. His name is Hiroaki Sawa. I'll spell his name. H-I-R-O-A-K-I. Last name is spelled S-A-W-A. If I'm butchering his first name, I'm sorry. Hiroaki Sawa. He is the head of a talent agency called Gush Cloud International. It's a global talent agency. And this guy has a website. I checked it out. I didn't recognize any of the talent that he has represented, but it is worldwide. There are people from America, people from Japan, people from England. They have a pretty broad base. Now, I think in some way he has some involvement with Sasha Banks as far as being a talent agent. Now, remember, you know, you're going to deal with companies overseas. You know, you have to have some type of a relationship. And the thing with Sasha Banks going to Japan, you know, there's rumors that she's getting $100,000 or her demands $100,000 or whatever it is. You know, when she works out a deal with Japan, and it's just going to be for a cup of coffee, if anybody thinks that she's going to ink a deal for like a year in Japan, you're nuts. This is going to be a short-term deal. But they're going to try to maximize as much as possible while she is in Japan. So this guy on his Twitter earlier posted this. Now, I don't speak Japan. I think much of you already know this. But some people out there do speak Japan. And they basically interpreted this. And just to summarize what this is saying, this guy talks about that she has 5.8 million followers on Instagram, and he says that she is still an active WWE wrestler. Excuse me. She is an active WWE wrestler, even though she's not. We know that. And he talks about how she's going to be in Japan this week, the 21st, I think to the 23rd. And he's trying to work out deals. And he basically wrote something on social media, almost like, you know, can we do something or can we work out something? It was just, now the interpretation is kind of butchered. But the way it came across for a lot of people is Sasha Banks is going to Japan this week. While she's in Japan, they want to work out some extra deals. So I think he was giving a shout out to people who he deals with in related to his global talent agency, that if anybody's interested in working out a deal with Sasha Banks, get in touch with me. Because I even think the last line of what he wrote, he was like hoping. So everybody saw that and ran and said, oh, Sasha Banks is going to be in Japan this week. This guy actually wrote that. From the 21st to the 23rd, Sasha Banks is expected to be in Japan. So this stood online for about, I don't know, I'd say about 6 hours today. Then he deleted it. But I did some research on this guy. This guy is legit. This is not some, you know, aspiring news journalist that is guessing. This guy runs a global talent agency. And it's a pretty big one, too. So this guy, somebody in Japan got really pissed off and said, what are you fucking putting this shit out there for? No one has made an announcement that Sasha Banks is working anything in Japan. Xander Elian, I like it. Like the play on words. He is a legit boss. He really is. So that, if you look at the news sites tonight, talking about Sasha Banks going to Japan this week, take note of the ones that left out this part of the story. You'll see a couple of news, wrestling news sites say, our sources tell us that Sasha Banks will be in Japan this week. And they couldn't have the decency to say to you, oh, a talent agency in Japan has a global talent agency, you know, leaked out that Sasha Banks is going to be in Japan this week. So this guy is legit. Why would he lie about Sasha Banks being in Japan? I'm starting to lose my voice again. Gets a little annoying, but all right. So take that how you want. Listen, if she's going to Japan and we think she's going to be at Wrestle Kingdom and they think that she may actually do more than that, there's got to be some announcement either this week or next week. And you go all the way to Japan. I think some announcement is made this week while she's in Japan. You get the photo op. You get a little bit of an interview. The only reason why maybe they do hold off on it is because if she is officially released from WWE as of January 1st, 2023, I don't know if, I'm assuming WWE probably would let her, but I don't know if WWE would allow her to publicly make an announcement that she is going to be performing at a wrestling event. You know, like she may have to wait till January 1st to make that announcement. That could be the reason why this guy got a little bit of heat also. So we will see what happens later this week. But I will say this in closing for tonight. One thing I want to remind everyone, and trying to remember who reported it tonight. It's actually a legitimate source, too. I can't remember who it was, but I'll mention them on Saturday. But they reported tonight that WWE does expect Sasha Banks to return, just not in January. You know, and I think that pretty much is what a lot of people are thinking out there, that, you know, Sasha Banks, she's doing her thing. She's got some opportunities. She's making some incredible paydays. Go ahead, go make your money, and then, you know, we'll bring you back down the line. I still 1,000% believe Sasha Banks will be in WWE in 2023. As the thumbnail I posted back in the summertime, bank on a 2023 return. I didn't say bank on a January 23 return. I didn't say bank on a June. We don't know when, but some point in 2023, unless someone grossly overpays for Sasha Banks. And understand this. I know what a lot of you are thinking. Saraya's mystery partner, January 10th for AEW. Even if Tony Khan paid Sasha Banks millions, even if he thought this was the ultimate fuck you to WWE and he thought that, hey, we don't have CM Punk anymore. Maybe she is our other choice to have a draw of some WWE fans to tune into our product. I know that sounds nuts. I'm not comparing CM Punk to Sasha Banks, but CM Punk definitely had an audience, a little extra audience that followed him and stood by him in AEW. My problem is, who do you have Sasha Banks not only feuding with, but who's going to give you the matches that you're going to remember? And I'm not saying WrestleMania moments, because that's unfair for a promotion that's been around for a couple of years. But if you say to me, oh, give me Jamie Hayter, give me Britt Baker, give me this, after a month or 2 months or even 3 months, what do you do next? The Bunny? You know, I'm nothing against the Bunny. There's nothing wrong with her. But when you actually look at that roster from top to bottom, if Thunder Rosa returns, okay, that's fine. But when you look at it top to bottom, there's a couple of fantasy matches. But if you work out a deal with Sasha Banks, you think Sasha Banks is just going to take a six-month deal with AEW or a one-year deal? What if Tony Khan locks her for 3 or 4 years? What is she going to do? Yeah, people would be like, oh, I would love to see her and Saraya go at it, you know, especially after what happened, and, you know, it temporarily derailed Saraya's career. After one match, then what? A hug, a kiss, everybody has an emotional moment, and then you move on. You look at the AEW women's roster and how little they used on Dynamite. They get two promos and you get one match, and that's pretty much it. Say what you want about WWE. Maybe you don't like Damage Control, and maybe you feel some of the women's matches are rather pointless and they really don't go anywhere. But WWE gives a lot of time for women on their shows. Plus, they have a lot more time during the week to air. They have 5 hours of programming. AEW is 3. So you bring Sasha Banks in, you know, you're going to overpay that much money and have her do one quarter at a time. If I was Sasha Banks, I'd take that in a second. You know, that's like Scott Hall and Kevin Nash deals, you know, on steroids from the middle 90s. So having Sasha in AEW, I think people would be more excited that, oh, that's the ultimate fuck you to WWE, than actually taking a step back and saying, okay, what memorable matches are we going to have? you know, okay, Jamie Hayter, Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker, Saraya would be intriguing. And then what? Then what? Emi Sakura? You know, the Bunny, Marina Shafir, Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill's going to be a superstar, but she's not on that level yet. Jade Cargill may need another year or two to add to her repertoire. That's why I don't know if that's a good idea. I think Sasha goes to Japan, stays there a month, 2 months, and then once that's done, she comes back. If she gets movies, then she stays out of wrestling for the most part. But at some point in 2023, she will be back in WWE. I truly believe that. I truly believe that, especially that her relationship with Triple H is very, very strong, and the situation with Vince has really dissipated when you think about it. But we'll see what happens. So I'm going to leave you all with one last thing. I did forget to bring this up, but it does have to do with Sasha Banks a little bit. Definitely does. Her cousin. You know, we talk about Sasha Banks having 5 million Instagram followers. Somebody said that Snoop Dogg has like 70 million. I mean, I know I'm not one of them, but Snoop Dogg worked his 70 million wrestling fans. Well, not wrestling fans, but he worked all of his fans. WWE apparently gave him this beautiful gold-plated WWE championship belt. And Snoop Dogg, I guess, was performing, and the belt got lost or stolen. So Snoop Dogg goes on his Instagram, and he writes, and I quote, "The WWE golden title is just perfect. I brought it on the holidays of Blaze Tour to show it to fans how dope it is, but it came up missing. I need it 911 ASAP before WrestleMania in Hollywood. So if y'all see it, let me know." So this was posted on his Instagram. So everybody over the weekend is reporting everywhere that Snoop Dogg's custom gold-plated WWE championship is gone. And, you know, I'm like, you know, wow. You know, it must, first of all, it looks like it's worth a lot of money. But I was like, you know, what, are you leaving in a cab? You know, and you think about Entourage, you know. But then we find out almost immediately that this is a storyline. They decide, and honestly, you know why I think this is happening? Because the 24/7 title is now in the garbage. I honestly think that Snoop Dogg's gold-plated championship belt is the replacement for this Hollywood bullshit interaction with WWE championships. So on Sunday, I don't know who this person is. Honestly, I wasn't even interested to try to find out. But on Sunday, on social media, WWE posts video of this clown at a football event. And check this out.
"Hey, my nephew, look what I got. I got the golden title. That's right. Right here. I'm not giving it back to you. Hey, Snoop, I'm sorry. I love the golden title. Sorry, man."
Now, we know if this was 30 years ago, he would have been on the video go, "Hey, yo, my name is Hector Rodriguez, and I have the Snoop. I got your title. I'm not giving it back to you." Moments later, that's what happened. And he was, wait. He would have been like, "Yeah, go 187 on that motherfucker." Oh, my God. If that was 30 years ago. "Yeah, my name is Jose Hector Rodriguez Gomez, and I got your WWE title, and I'm not giving it back to you, Snoop." Moments later, blown in the head. Go 187 on the motherfucking boop. Would have got whacked. So it's a storyline. I don't know who that is. But WWE posted it. I think Snoop took it upon himself to post it on his Instagram. And I think before it turned into like a major TMZ story and his other places, WWE revealed its storyline. So, yeah, Vulture, I'm with you. Give it to Dana Brooke. Look, I'm willing to wait a little bit with Scripps. I think eventually I almost said Eugene. It's getting late, everyone. I think Reggie, the other Matarazzo, I think Reggie will take the mask off. I think Reggie will take a mask off and cut a heel promo. He's got to open his mouth. And they can't do a nails thing and try to scramble his voice. He's got to talk and he's got to bash the WWE Universe and, you know, try to mock what he's doing. I would even say that he's, you know, doing it on purpose to embarrass the company. I don't know. I don't write for them. I don't get paid that kind of money. So, all right, everyone. We're about 100 minutes tonight. It's been real. It's been fun. I want to thank you all, as always. One final comment. This was a little follow-up. What we said earlier about the Usos, Devin M., with a two spot, says he thinks the Usos still lose to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I agree with you 100%. That, I'm telling you, you're going to see grown people crying. When Sami and Kevin Owens defeat the Usos, hug each other, show those titles, you're going to see grown people in the crowd crying. Because that friendship, in fact, you know what? You're going to see that emotional moment before WrestleMania. Because when the bloodline turns on Sami, Kevin Owens is not going to make the save. You don't make the save. You need Sami Zayn laid out. You need that visual to be the last thing you see for a while. And then Kevin Owens, is an unexpected visitor for Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens tells Sami Zayn, I told you. I told you should have listened to me. And Sammy will ask, you know, to forgiveness. Kevin Owens will then, they will say, you know what we have to do? Take the titles from the Usos. You know, that's how you got to cut the head off the snake. They're not going to get Roman Reigns, obviously. But when they agree, you know, we were talking over the weekend about my favorite Dustin Rhodes moment of all time because he announced he's retiring in 2023. And for me, my favorite emotional moment with Dustin is not when he and Cody were a tag team in WWE. And they remember that whole storyline? They won the tag titles. I think they won the tag titles. Remember, there was like a stipulation with the Authority or something. But my favorite moment was when Dustin had was confronted by his father, Dusty. And this was in NWA back in, what, 88? I might have the year wrong. I don't remember what year it was. Might 92? I don't know. But this is when Dusty was feuding with Bughouse Buck and Terry Funk. And he needed a partner. And he wanted Dustin to be his partner. And they were in the ring. And then Dusty said something like, you know, I don't need a handshake. Just a hug and a kiss. You know, from your dad, you know, I'm your daddy. You know, I don't need no handshake. I don't need no contract. Just a hug and a kiss to seal the deal. And they hugged. You saw grown people wailing. That was a cool moment. I'm not putting this on that level, but I'm telling you, when Sammy and Kevin Owens shake hands and have that hug, you're going to see people. All right, I was over. All right, 1994. Thank you, Roderick. Yeah, 1994. That was a good moment. So I'm telling you, we're going to see that emotional moment before WrestleMania. But, you know, they're going to dethrone the Usos. There's no reason not to. The Usos are already in the record books. The Usos, I'm telling you, man, it's not a shot on FTR. I swear it's not a shot on FTR. But when you realize that the Usos have wrestled almost 150 times in 2022, and they're still main eventing not just one show a week, but two, and house shows, and fans are not in droves saying, yo, this is played out, man. Yo, fucking Usos again. Yo, come on, man. Bro, I fucking saw it on Friday. I don't need to see it again. Bro, come on, man. Every week, we are... No, not many people are doing that. They still dig it. And you know what the outcomes are most of the time. When there's a title match, we know who's going to win for the most part. When there's not a title match, you get like what we got today. Did anybody say tonight, oh, wow, Kevin Owens pins Jimmy Uso. Shouldn't Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens get a tag title shot? Did you see anybody write that tonight? I'm sure somebody did by now. Why wouldn't they get a tag title shot after tonight? They pinned the tag team champions. But you don't even think about that stuff. So the fact that they could have this many matches and people are not complaining, that just shows you how good they really are. And, man, I am so happy to see that their personal situations have cleared up. You know, because remember early on, we were kind of confused, like, why would you put them in such a strong spotlight, you know, when you're dealing with DUI issues and shit like that? But that WWE really, really gambled. I think when we look back years from now, people are going to say, you know, I think even in WWE, like, we gambled. We took a gamble. Even Roman Reigns, you know, he believed in his family and took a gamble. You know, and they went full-blown with this storyline, and it could have easily crumbled, you know, if there would have been more legal issues going on. So, all right. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, I would appreciate it if you give it a little thumbs up. That actually does help getting a little bit extra exposure here on the YouTube side of things. If you like the audio side, you know, definitely, you know, download the shows, because believe it or not, I tell you, you know, I fixed a lot of links last week. I didn't talk about it on the main shows, but I didn't realize for about 2 years, my Spotify link still showed the Don, Tony, Kevin Castle show. Those are fond memories. I'm not shitting on the show, I'm not throwing shade in any way, but, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't even aware that those shows ever happened. And they do a search even on, you know, other platforms, and it doesn't come up. And a lot of my old domain links had that show as the URL. And I was like, fuck. You know, even iTunes still had the Don, Tony, Kevin. It had the old DTKC logo for a long time. So last week, I went through every link, from Amazon to iTunes to Spotify to Stitcher, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and I fixed everything. But, you know, if you download the shows, you know, or if you haven't in a while, download the episodes. They're free, and that actually helps. You know, I'm not telling you to download it and not listen. You know, it's like Dixie Carter back in the day. Oh, you know, you DVR it, even if you're watching it live, or don't DVR it, or do both. You know, I don't want falsely inflated numbers. If I did, I go contact some, you know, guy from India and give him $50 through Fiverr and say, hey, do me a favor. You know, download my episode 10,000 times. Here's $50. Oh, thank you very much. You know, I don't want to do that. So much fraud going on out there. So I like to know that whatever numbers that come in, it's at least people that are checking the show out, and hopefully you're a return customer. So, all right. I don't want to say Merry Christmas yet, because we have a show Wednesday. We have a show tomorrow on Patreon too. I don't know if tomorrow is off the cuff. I got to go check it out. But tomorrow we have a show. Wednesday we have a show. Thursday I'm doing a Q&A. Just a reminder, somebody's going to win a bobblehead. You know, Don, Tony bobblehead. People have been asking for it. And you have to submit a question to be part of it. So you have until Wednesday to submit a question either on the community section on YouTube or email me, dontony@dontony.com. So Thursday we'll have the Q&A. And then Saturday, yeah, Christmas Eve, but we'll be doing it at 11 a.m. So we have plenty of stuff to get into. So, all right, guys, I'm sorry about the tickle in my throat earlier. You know, it comes and it goes, but as long as it's not the COVID, that's what I care about. So, all right, and you all have a good evening. Much love as always. Post a comment. Let me know what you thought about the episode. Anything that I might have shangotted, you know, screwed up, let me know about. But as I said earlier, I'm pretty certain with the Corey Graves thing that he definitely mixed up his years. But tune in Wednesday, because we'll talk a little bit more about the Mandy Rose stuff and a few other things going on. So the Mandy Rose thing, as time goes by, you got to realize that we were dead on with everything. And if I find out something else with Matt Riddle, I will let you all know. And if I find out before the next show, I'll probably post a little clip online. But be well, everyone. Much love as always. And happy holidays. All the best. Oh! Wednesday. We will don the hat again. Little Jake Hager love. I might send it. try to figure out a way to send and see if he'll autograph it. So, yeah, I put it on yesterday. So I'll wear it Wednesday for a little while. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.